This is the second of three podcast interviews recorded with Dr. Tony Bates, a leading light for Canadian educators on questions of online, blended, and distance learning. In this episode, we are talking about the world of online learning in the aftermath of COVID-19. How will all the innovations educators made in response to the crisis shape the adult education world of the future? Hi, Tony, and thank you for joining us again to talk to Canadian 7th language training professionals about online and blended learning. I know you've thought very carefully about what the impact of the pandemic will be on teaching and learning after the emergency is over. How do you think teaching is likely to be different post-COVID?
I think the big challenge is going to be now that students have done lots of stuff online. The question, it's always been assumed in the past that face-to-face teaching is inherently superior to online learning. And I mentioned in the previous podcast, there's lots of research to show that's not necessarily true. Now, what we're seeing in universities now particularly is students complaining about having to pay the same tuition fees if they're getting the classes online and not face-to-face. And that raises the question, what is the extra value of that face-to-face teaching over what they could be doing online? And I think students are going to ask that a lot more in the future. They're going to ask, why do I have to come into a class for this when I could do this online? And I think that will make us, if you think of face-to-face teaching as a medium, and the same way that online learning is a medium, then the question arises, what are the affordances? That's a technical term. What are the educational benefits of face-to-face teaching when students can work online? Now, there are lots of good answers to that question, but we can't just assume that face-to-face teaching is always, in every circumstance, going to be better than students learning online. And I think that will make us think much more carefully about, for instance, in language teaching, how we use that time when students are together in a room, if we can get back to getting students together in a room, that they can't do online. And again, if you think about things like Zoom and having students in different places but still synchronously working online, what is it about that group situation? For instance, can you deal with topics that are more sensitive in the classroom than you can on Zoom? Or are there certain things like gesture and the way that students look and so on that you want to get that are important in language teaching that you need to focus on particularly in a classroom rather than online? Now, I can't answer that question because I'm not a language teacher, but I think anybody teaching languages should think very, very carefully about what really is best done face-to-face to make it worth the while the students make any effort in leaving their homes and coming to somewhere else to be with other people. And post-COVID-19, I'm not sure there will be a post-COVID-19 in the sense that I think we're going to question the, do we always need to bring people together in large groups and large numbers and so on? There's always going to be things like flu or other illnesses around. So I think people are going to be much more cautious in the future about coming together in large groups. Particularly, you know, again, we could talk about equality here, but some students, you know, have much more liable to illnesses than others and so on. So maybe that they will be less happy about coming into large groups in future. So I think the benefit will be that we will be much clearer about the advantages of face-to-face teaching. We won't assume it's always best, but in these circumstances, we have clear evidence that it works better than online. I think they'll be quite limited, those circumstances. What I think it's more a question of is, what do students enjoy most doing? It's going to be as simple as that. When do they really enjoy getting together and for what purposes compared with doing it online? So some aspects of group work, I think, are usually best done together. And I can see in language teaching particularly, you want to handle social and cultural issues as well, which are probably best done face-to-face than online.
So we've been arguing since the inception of our project that building digital literacy skills in adult newcomers is an enabling skill for living in Canada. From what you're saying, I think that online learning toolkit is going to be more important than ever if or when the COVID crisis lifts.
Yes, absolutely. I've been arguing a long time now that in all subject disciplines, digital literacy is important. And when I say digital literacy, I don't mean programming or coding. What I mean is knowing how to use digital tools in whatever field you're in. Now, obviously, that's really important in language teaching, knowing how to use social media, for instance, and knowing how to use it thoughtfully and well, and, you know, about being able to sift and analyze what you see in social media. That's a really important digital skill. And it is a partly a language skill, partly a cultural skill, and partly a social skill. So, again, digital literacy is going to become increasingly important for everybody. And if you go into the workplace in the future, you're going to have to be digitally literate. You know, 90% of all jobs are going to require somebody to do something on a computer.
Well, that's terrific. Thanks so much, Tony. I'm looking forward to podcast number 3 with you. That's it for number 2. Thanks again. Thank you for listening. This podcast was made possible by funding from Immigration, Refugees, and Citizenship Canada.